I think you were looking out the window in their garden to see what the place was where they live, in Chesham, England. Brother and Sister Yike and Nancy and I had the privilege of being gone for about 5 weeks in our trip to New Zealand and to Australia. Our visit with the brethren there is not much different than our visit with the brethren here in this country. The brethren are not in particular need, as they are perhaps in India, or in South America, or in Romania, but they have much the same advantages as we here in this country. And when we visit one class or the other, it's like visiting the brethren here. Because all of those that we spoke with, for the most part, were English speaking. And that's nice to be with brethren like that. Although, while we were in Australia, we did meet with quite a few of the Polish brethren in Melbourne. Our first stop was in New Zealand, where in that whole country there are only 5 brethren that are interested in the truth. Brother and Sister Hyam, along with 3 others, are very faithful in serving the Lord and proclaiming the gospel of the message. Brother and Sister Hyam have a little dawn office in their home. And from there, they send out booklets, tracts, and do a lot of work in the South Seas, sending their literature to Fiji and Samoa and all those islands. And there are quite a few names in Fiji, in fact, as a result of their efforts. And we were in hopes to be able to see some of these people, but unfortunately, they all have post office boxes, and it's pretty difficult to find anyone there. But the brethren there are getting older, as they are here, and the thing that impressed us the most was their zeal for the truth and for their study of the scriptures. And so far as we're concerned, they have the truth. They're clear in the truth. And we're very thankful for the audio tapes, the videotapes that they're able to use there in New Zealand. They do have a video recorder in which they can play our own videotapes from this country. And they see the convention tapes there, as some of the isolated brethren here may also be able to do. And they're looking forward to seeing the general convention there in New Zealand. From New Zealand, we went to Australia. And while there, we were visited 7 different classes. Melbourne is the largest of the classes in Melbourne, in Australia. Most of the brethren are located on the east coast. There's very little, if anything, between the east and the west part of Australia. It's all outback. But we were primarily interested in going down at the Christmas season and New Year's, because it's New Year's that they, or the Christmas season, that they have their convention. And at the convention, there were approximately 75 brethren. And this is composed of a class that we normally meet with of 8 English-speaking brethren and about 35 of the Polish brethren. Polish have a nice class all by themselves. They have a wonderful little building, and we had several meetings with them together with those of the English-speaking class. In addition to the regular class with whom we meet, there's another class of about 30 brethren, and they all get together for the convention. At the convention, there were three brethren immersed. And it was interesting that one of the little services that they perform is following the immersion, and after the brethren have dressed from the service, they all come up on the platform, and one of the elders of the English-speaking class, together with his wife, and one of the brethren from the Polish class, together with his wife, all come up to the platform together in front of the audience and welcome those newly immersed into the family. And that's a nice service to see. From Melbourne, we travel to the other classes, and there's not many in any of these other classes. In Adelaide, I think there's about five. We met with two of the brethren, and about 2.5 hours away, out in the barley fields, one of the brethren were sick and were not able to meet with us, so we met with two in Adelaide. It was about an hour and a half flight to get to Adelaide from Melbourne, and we were with them 2 days. We had studies and discourse, and the brethren appreciate those of us coming from a distance to visit just a couple here and there, as it was even in Sydney. When we went to Sydney, there are about five brethren. And imagine, in a big city like Sydney, only five brethren, and yet they are still holding fast to the truth. They love to have the brethren come down to visit them, and when they do, well, of course, it's meetings, meetings, meetings. From Sydney, we went up to Brisbane, and some of the brethren you have met have come here to the convention before from Brisbane, and there's a group of about 25 there. They also have a couple of studies, a couple of discourses, as we would normally do here when you travel from place to place. The trip from Brisbane, which was a much warmer part of the country than down in Melbourne, pretty cool in that area, that time of the year. It's summer up in Brisbane, and it's nice to get into the warm country, much the same as it is here in St. Joe. But at Brisbane, there were about 20 of the brethren. And from there, we went up to Nambour. Perhaps some of you have heard of Brother Greg Tosh. He is one of the leading elders in Nambour. And there's a class up there, I'd say of about 12. The brethren from Brisbane traveled an hour and a half to get up to Nambour, and we had a little mini convention there with them on that Sunday. It was also up in that area where you go to Gympie. Gympie is a little town which perhaps some of you know. Sister Rowena Greenholt, she lives out on a farm way out in the boondoggles up on the side of a hill. But and we had a meeting out at their place, which was quite a different than we would have right here. Yeah, you're out among the sheep and the goats. From Gympie, we went to Perth. And that distance from Sydney, where you fly from Sydney to Perth, is a distance of about 3,000 miles, almost like from New York to Los Angeles. It takes about 5.5 hours to fly. But there you find that there are nine brethren. And here again, nine brethren serving the truth. And they have their studies, and we were there 3 days. And it was study seeming like morning, noon, and night. It was interesting to be with the brethren at this time, And I'm sure that we received rich blessings from each one of them. Counting all the brethren that we were able to count, I think that perhaps in that big country of Australia, together with New Zealand, I don't believe that there are perhaps more than 125 brethren in that part of the world. They're all getting old. A few of us are getting a little old. And it won't be long before there will be none left down that part. And we can see that for that reason, perhaps, we're getting so much closer to the kingdom. And so, without any further ado, I know that Brother Grecki has some pictures for us, and he's going to tell us about his trip, which I think will be very interesting for us also. So, Brother Grecki.
And now we'll turn the program over to Brother Bob Grecki from the Dawn. And he'll give us about a 15-minute presentation on the European Brethren.
Thank you, Brother Bob. I must say that Deanne and I looked into the possibility of being with our brethren in Europe with great fear. We were meeting brethren that perhaps we had seen their face at a convention, maybe on a screen someplace. Maybe we even had a chance to say hello to them once. And now we were going to be in their country. Their language was different than ours. Their customs were different. And we didn't know what to expect. But we were thoroughly blessed by that experience. It was a real privilege to be there. The biggest problem we ran into in our first stop, which was England, was trying to get across the street. It seems that every time you look to the left, you almost got run down with a car coming from the right. And I'll tell you, we were there for almost 2 weeks, and it was still a struggle going across the street. I constantly had to look back and forth, and somehow there was always this guy sneaking in on the wrong way on the road. But we survived, and what a privilege it was to be with our dear brethren of Europe. Just one more observation, and is in my mind, Europe perhaps was the size of America, even though I know it isn't that way on the map. And I expected to see hundreds and hundreds of brethren. But when the brethren of England tell us there's perhaps maybe 30 or 40 brethren in England, and the brethren in Germany tell us that there's perhaps 200 at the very most in Germany, 8 elders in the whole country. And the brethren in France say there's perhaps almost as much as 200. We begin to see the size, and yet the countries aren't that big. But those that are there are truly dedicated and a real privilege to be with, and great warmth was experienced by us, and it was a great privilege to be there. We were there for approximately 4 weeks. We visited England, Germany, France, and Switzerland. So sit back and we'll show you some of the friends that wanted their special love sent to each of you, brethren. And so we begin our trip in England. And England is a country that just loves flowers. And this is the back window of the home of Fred and Ivy Binns. You know, it's a little hard up here trying to tell you about England when the elder and his wife are sitting in the audience. But nevertheless, we'll try to struggle through it. But it was wonderful being in their house, and here they are in their garden. And it's not very wide, but yet every inch is filled with beauty and greenery, and a real privilege to be there. We stayed a day or so in their home, and then we headed for the convention. The convention was about 2 hours away from London. We're just north of London here, and we're heading to the convention, and here we have arrived at the convention. This is the convention hall. It's really a cottage. It's got a couple of bedrooms and a living room and a dining room, and the whole convention was held in this building. It's called Storrington, or it's a small, we would call it a manor, I believe is the term. It's like an estate, an old farm on a great big piece of land just outside of the very small village of Storrington. And these are some of the brethren who have arrived at the convention. This is Sister Phyllis James. And most of you perhaps remember Miriam Robinson. She's been to the convention here several times. And this dear sister is Margaret Willie. It's interesting about this sister that she knew of the truth when she was much younger, and she kind of lost contact with the truth movement for many, many years. And just recently she became once again enthused with the truth, and we had an immersion service at this hall in the upstairs bathtub. This dear sister is Annie Rutherford. Her mother got the truth from Brother Russell in Scotland, and she is a dear sister. Her eyesight is poor, her hearing is poor, but her mind is sharp as a tack, and we really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation with her. She lives a few doors down from Fred and Ivy Binns. This is a dear brother, John Bryce, typical Englishman with his love of humor and bubbling over with the truth. And here's our friend Ivy. And this is Edna Holliday. Jesse Norman. And our pianist, Donald Holliday. It's interesting, somehow somebody forgot to bring a book with a hymn book with notes, and so consequently for 4 days, Donald played all the hymns beautifully on this organ without any music other than words. And they were different tunes, that's true. And here's the immersion service. We all couldn't get into the bathroom, so some of us had to stand out in the hallway. And there's Fred. On the grounds of this manor is an old church. And this church had a sign that said that it was built in the year 1050. This is another elder in England. His name is David Lightfoot. He belongs to the same class as Donald Holliday. A scene of the pasture land. And here's the manor house that dates back many hundreds of years. And this is an old barn. It's called a tithing barn. And the serfs who lived on the land had to bring their share of the crop that was due to the manor owner into this barn. This barn goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. This brother Bryce and his 40-year-old car. He drove to the convention and he got within a quarter of a mile and it died. And it was sad, it was raining out. But fortunately, an hour later he went back and tinkered with it and got some fuel into the carburetor and drove right back up to the convention. Here's the dining hall. It's called the dining room. By the way, there were 12 of us at this convention, and it lasted 7 days. But you can see the size is limited because of the accommodations in the meeting hall. This is our view out of the bedroom and also our alarm clock. Every morning these cows started to moo for the farmer and his food. It was really wonderful. During one lunch break, we went to a little town that was about 10 miles away from Storrington, and it was called Amberley. And if you'll notice, the roofs on these houses are thatched. This one isn't. But there's one that's thatched, and behind it is a part of a castle that it remains from, I suspect, 1,000 years. Wisteria. Beautiful flowers everywhere in England. And here's the convention picture. That's all of us. What a blessed time we had. Now we are in the city of Chesham. We're in the house of Fred and Ivy Binns, and it's Sunday meeting time. And these brethren are Joan, Alex, and Nicholas Chacharis, I guess it would be close. And that is Gwen Evans' sister, or Margaret Ferdowski's sister. Here's the whole group that meets on Sunday. The sister in the middle is really not a sister, she's a Mrs. Bauer. Her husband was a brother of the truth, and he died, and she enjoys coming to the truth and coming to the meetings, and so she comes every Sunday and just enjoys the fellowship. And the sister on your right there is Paula Wiggins. Now, a day or so later, we went and visited Kathleen Boot. She's confined to a rest home, a very nice arrangement, and we had a pleasant discussion with her in her home. This is Marion Robinson's house, and there was a meeting in the afternoon at 3 o'clock in her home. And this sister is Gertie Taylor, and Gertie is just about 100% blind. But her heart is as big as a house, and she bubbles over with the truth, and a real pleasure to talk with her. This is the meeting photo of all the brethren there, and the people on my left, or on your left, Bill and Burl Winwood. I believe they, I'm not sure they're brethren, whether they just are interested in the truth, newly interested, but it was nice to be with them and enjoy the fellowship of these brethren meeting here in this home. Next, we went on to Germany, and the day before the convention, we took a short trip, and we went to a town called Worms. And of course, it sounds kind of odd, but basically, this is the town where Martin Luther was involved with, I guess, it's called the Diet of Worms, I think it is, and there was a trial concerning the reformers and their statues, and there's a humongous church that still carries the scars of the Second World War on its outer walls. Now we're at the convention in Korbach, Germany. And this is Brother Fritz Brunner, and he gives the opening discourse, and there's about 110 brethren at Korbach. They were very kind to us, and they recorded, translated everything into English for us through headsets. And that's Brother and Sister Holiday and Regina Keepman. I guess I was a little wrong there. Regina Keepman, I believe, is the sister on the right there, and Brother Brunner's daughter is the one in the stripe, and that's her husband next to her. This is the convention hall, about 110, as we said. All the discourses were in German except for Brother Holliday's in English and ourselves. This is Brother Keepman. Brother Keepman's the editor of the German Dawn. This is Lutz and Elena Rutman, one of the elders in Germany. That's their grandson, Daniel. And this is their daughter, Monica, and Daniel. This is, again, Brother Brunner and his wife. The German book table, and if you look close, you'll recognize some of the books, except the language is different. This is Lillian. This is Brother Coletta from Poland. That's his granddaughter. Just some brethren who attended the convention. And that's Brother Coletta on the right, who was visiting from Poland. And this is the lunchroom. And this is Sammy Stalders from Germany. And Violetta, this is Brother Coletta's daughter. And that's the whole family. It's Brother Coletta, his daughter on the left, and granddaughter on the right. Some brethren from Romania were at the German convention. And these are also Romanian brethren. This is a brother Schultz who was on the platform. And this is the love feast. And they have an English brother and a German brother standing at the end of the line. And they pass the bread as the brethren file past them. This is brother and sister Fox, spelled F-U-C-H-S. This is Sammy Stalder's mother-in-law, or Anique Stalder's mother. This is a brother from Austria. And this brother was a JW, and he's coming to the truth. His wife is still a JW, but she was there, and she enjoyed the convention very much, she mentioned. And this is their son. And after the convention, this is a brother that wanted to be specially remembered to Brother Krupa. And his name is Ernfried Stun, S-T-U-N, I guess. Austrian brethren who attended the convention. Now we're back in Sammy and Anique's home. And again, this is the Coletta family from Poland. And we're on a train now, and Sammy and Anique get us room on the train. They get us all seated, and they will not leave us until the train pulls out. And what it was just great to have someone who spoke English so close. We went to France, and this is Sister Schoenberg. Sister Schoenberg has been the editor and producer of the French Dawn, which is about 200 copies every other month. And she's been doing this since her husband died by herself for about 25 years. But age has caught up with her, and it's about time that she has to turn over that responsibility to a committee in France, and so it's slowly being done. She is fortunate to have a sister, and this is her sister, Frida Binkley. And Frida is her legs and her arms and runs to the post office for her. And Frida's 82 and a half, and Sister Schoenberg's is 85. We had a meeting in Maluth at Brother Wozniak's house, and there were probably about 45 or 50 brethren there. This would be eastern France, right on the border of Germany. This is Rajesh and Peggy and Christine Liberta. We are, again, in Maluth. And this is Christine's mother and father. They're Polish, and they were visiting for several weeks. This is a view out of our bedroom window, and you can see the French architecture. Now we got on a train and went to Switzerland, and we were staying at the home of Jacques Kowalczyk, and this is their home. It was just finished like a week and a half before we got there. It's a little tough looking out the window every morning at this scenery. In a little village, this is Josie, and she was moving some boulders on the outside a day or two before us, and she sprained her arm, and she went to the doctor, and she came back with a cast. Lovely couple. This is their new daughter, Celia. And this is Jacques. Jacques and Celia. And we thoroughly enjoyed the dedication and the love of the truth that these brethren demonstrated. This is the meeting that took place, and all the brethren that were at the meeting. And this is in France, just over the Switzerland border. We have about 10 or 12 more slides. This is a little town in Switzerland outside Luzern. And Daniel Lennick lives in this town. And I don't know if you know, brethren, but in Germany and Switzerland and so forth, the farmers live in town. So the barns are in town, the tractors come in town, the cows walk in every night and walk out every morning. And they don't build their farm houses out in the country. They build them in the cluster in the town. And this is the little town that Danielle lives in. And this is his farmhouse. Now, it's a very nice house. And Daniel is a professor, and he works in Luzerne at a college. And I think Paul Malley knows well, because it's the same college that Paul is involved with when he does go to Switzerland. And this was the meeting that was held in their house, and Danielle was the one in the blue on the right, and Nicholas is, or Nikolai is his son on the left, and his mother is right in front of him in the red. And there's a Swedish sister there in the purple, and the sister on the far right is Daniel's mother, who lives in the same small town as Jock and Josie. This was going to be a family portrait till the sister from Switzerland moved in, and they claimed her for part of the family. We're on a train heading for Paris. It's called a TGV, and it travels at 250 kilometers an hour, or 150 miles an hour. And it was a wonderful trip, and we arrive in Paris, and we find that Bernard and Michelle Bouillet are our hosts. And Bernard picked us up and brought us through Paris into their home. And we're talking the small town of Lamoureux, France. This is the outside of their home. And the next day they drove up about 2.5 hours north to Lens. And we're about 5 miles from Belgium. And we have a combined meeting of several classes in this hall. The choir got up, and it was mostly half the class stood up for the choir, and they did quite well, and we didn't quite understand the words, but the music was beautiful. We had about 60 brethren in this meeting, three young sisters, and there's Brother Pilarski on your left, that's Felix, and his brother Edward, right, thank you. And this is John Mark. Again, this is the class. This is the Bouillet family. And it's interesting, in France there's only, someone said, two or three families that are pure French. The vast majority of the 200 brethren are of Polish descent. The brethren basically live in the northern part of France, and some to the eastern side of France. Very few in the middle, and very few down in the south. This is in the Bouillet home. It's time to head home, and brother and sister Moltkevich, or close to that, picked us up and took us to the airport. And what's interesting, we get to this humongous airport called Charles de Gaulle. And we said, just drop us off, we'll find the spot, and we can get to the Northwest airline gate. And they said, no, 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 in very, very limited English. Sister stayed with us, brother came in. They didn't leave us till the man asked for our passports. I mean, we went through the line with our luggage, and they were there all the time with great smiles, and it was typical of the love shown to us by the brethren of Europe. And here we are at home at 145 Passaic, Rutherford, New Jersey.
Brethren, that ends our meeting for the day. Truly, we've had many, many blessings. We have a couple of brief announcements, some very important announcements, however. Tomorrow morning, in the very early hours of the morning, this auditorium will be used by the college for testing. So it's very important that you pick up all your books, purses, umbrellas, all that kind of stuff, and take it with you. Our meeting will be here. We'll reconvene at 9:30 approximately tomorrow. Try to be here on time, although if they're a little late getting out, we may have to delay slightly. Our first session will be Brother David Rice, And then our second session will be a presentation prepared by Brother Tabak. Another very important announcement. We have ice cream tonight, and we'd like to invite each and every one of you to that ice cream social. There will, however, be no adult swims either tonight or tomorrow night. So we're expecting to see all of you at the ice cream social. And finally, I still have a wonderful gray umbrella. And to that has been added a Hymns of the Dawn. So if you're missing either one of these items, please see me. Now we'll have our brother Daniel Wessel read the songs in the night.
July 20. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, Acts 26:22. In referring to the preservation of his life, the apostle does not give credit to Lysias, the commander of the garrison at Jerusalem, but declares that he obtained help of God, by whom he had been sustained to the time of his speaking. There is a good lesson in this for all the Lord's people. How apt many are to give credit to luck or chance or human instrumentality, overlooking the fact that the Lord's saints are the special objects of his care, and that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them and delivereth them. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Acts 26:22.
We'll now close our service for the day with prayer. Dear Father, we desire to come before Thee in the closing hours of this, another wonderful day of convention. Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here in St. Joe. We thank You for allowing us to be amongst our brothers and sisters, to be recipients of Your love and their love as we look into Your Word and to Your understanding of Your plans and purposes. Father, what a privilege it is that we have been allowed to be here. We thank You for the demonstration of our young people and their love and joy in offering praise and honor to You. And we add our words of praise also at this time. We are so unworthy of Your great love for us. But we thank You for allowing us this wonderful privilege of convention. The privilege of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. The privilege of knowing of Your plans and purposes. The privilege of knowing of our dear brethren throughout the face of this earth. Father, we pray for Your kingdom that it might soon come and end earth's weary night. Now be with us in the evening hours and through the night that we might receive refreshment and strength for one more day. Continue with us and with all Your people everywhere, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.